we are going to talk about Oscar snubs, because this did get nominated for Best Animated Picture.
Oh, that's right. It did.
Yeah. We will fucking get there. Don't
Wreck-It
you?
Ralph?
And I will, what nope, I will fucking tell you, because it's bullshit.
Oh, is it the Pirates movie?
No. We'll get there. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Heroes come in all shapes and sizes, even rectangles. Dave, not exactly rectangular shaped, but he is a hero, and he is seated right across from me as usual. That's Mr. Dave Bacella.
That's me.
I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, heroes come in all shapes and sizes, even rectangles. If you can figure out what movie that belongs to and send your guess to us in one of the three following ways, you can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can tweet at us, which is probably the most effective way, @moviesonup on the Twitter if you are correct. And if we choose you, we will put some prizes in a box and send them to you. This week, as Dave mentioned last week, there were a ton of ways that we could have gone, and I think any of them would have been enjoyable to a certain extent, but we settled on doing the Lego movie. Lego Batman comes out this week. Obviously, that's sort of a spinoff of the Lego movie from 2014, directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, starring Chris Pratt, Elizabeth Banks, and Lego Batman himself, Will Arnett. It was a movie that, personally, I didn't see coming at all, but it ended up being one of my absolute favorite movies that year, and a movie that, if I run across somebody that hasn't seen it yet, I don't care, young or old. I'm like, yes, let's watch Lego Movie because you're going to dig it. This is going to be awesome.
And it was one of those that you see headlines like, oh, they're making a Monopoly movie. They're making a Battleship
they did.
Movie.
Yeah.
Making a Lego movie. And it's like, they're making a Hot Wheels movie. And it's like, really? Like, how do you come up with movies for those? So you go in with low expectations. And then I remember when the trailer came out for this and it was like, all right. Like, okay. Like, it kind of shocked me. And Miller and Phil Lord, this is kind of what they talked about. Their career was built on doing stuff that sounded like bad ideas and making it work. They did 21 Jump Street, which was a terrible idea. A comedy about a show from 20 years ago that wasn't a comedy. They made it work. They had a TV show about one guy left on the planet. Mm-hmm. They made it work. Like, there were a lot of questions going in. I think the trailer answered a lot of those, and then the movie delivered.
And it certainly, the trailer helped them get a lot of butts in seats in the first week, and that they did. February 7th, 2014, it was number one with $69 million, which is a giant opening for February. Yeah. The Monuments Men also in its opening week finished second with $22 million, followed by Ride Along, Frozen, and Lone Survivor. It went on to gross $257.7 million, which puts it number 94 on the all-time domestic list. One spot above J.J. Abrams' 2009 franchise reboot of...
Oh, Star Trek.
Star Trek it is. And one spot behind the second Hobbit movie, The Desolation of Smaug. Captain America, Winter Soldier is number 92, so just two spots above that. And Jaws is 91, for a little bit of context. It's kind of interesting to go back, really, at this point, basically almost 3 years. But
it feels so long ago.
I know it does. But in those 3 years, if we go back in the Wayback Machine, Chris Pratt, not a movie star at that point. At the time,
he was Doughy Andy.
Exactly. He was Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec. But when he was cast in this movie, when you find out a little bit more about the character, it seemed like, okay, that's good casting. I could see him doing voices for cartoons and kids stuff. It's basically just Johnny Karate, except an animated version. It's a big kid-friendly comedy. He's playing this earnest man-child, which is not much of a stretch, but he was able to really put his personality into Emmett and make that a good character.
Yeah, and I mean, when we first started the show and did casting news, like, I remember when Chris Pratt got cast as Star-Lord after probably 30 names were mentioned and he came out of nowhere, and it was like, weird. That came later this year. So you have Chris Pratt, who was just on Parks and Rec. I believe this and Guardians were two of the top four or five highest grossing of that year. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you have Chris Pratt, movie star, and it started here.
2014, a pretty decent year for Pratt. Between Lego and Guardians, that's about $590 million at the box office from a guy that went from TV to bankable leading man in
like no time.
A year. Yeah. These were not his first two movie roles, but these were the first two that he carried. He basically hit two grand slams to win consecutive World Series.
And then went to Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Which was one of the highest grossing movies ever.
Exactly. It now, if Chris Pratt's in something and he's headlining it, you expect it to be, if not a good movie, at least do very, very well at the box office. I mean, I was kind of surprised that Passengers fell on its face.
Yeah, I saw it and I'm not.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I didn't see it. Yeah. Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence, this is going to be great. It's just so weird that in 3 years, you go from, oh, that's the guy on Parks and Rec that was a show that I don't think people watched when it was on, to now he is one of the most bankable
from
stars
a show
in
that
Hollywood.
Was fighting cancellation
yes.
every year.
Right. A supporting
he,
character
yeah,
on that show.
A supporting character on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly can't. I didn't really dig into the research, but it's hard to think of somebody that basically just got shot out of a cannon the way he. And I'm not trying to say that he didn't earn it.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
It
but
just,
it's just
happened fast.
Super fast.
He went a couple supporting roles and then massive. I think of Chris Pratt as My Chemical Romance from a personal standpoint because I remember me and Jason West went to see a packed show with Piebald and Fairweather and this small band, My Chemical Romance, that we had never heard of. So we checked out their first album. There was like 100 people paying attention. Me and Westy were the only ones that knew the lyrics because we had listened. We saw them like 3 or 4 months later, right as their breakthrough album was about to come out. And, you know, they played in Jersey for, instead of 100 people, it was about 5 or 6 that were paying attention. And then their album came out. They blew up. I saw them in November that year headlining to a couple thousand people. And it was all within like a year. And it was cool to just see them grow. And that's how I think of Chris Pratt, like from a personal standpoint, because it was like, people knew who he was. Some people did.
He was in, I think, Her the year before. Very tiny,
very tiny
role
part.
In that.
He
yeah.
was in Delivery Man,
mm-hmm.
the Starbuck remake.
Right.
With Vince
the
he
American
was great
Starbuck.
In that. Yeah.
yeah.
He was fantastic in that.
But he goes from these little bit parts to he's carrying Lego Movie. He's carrying Guardians. It's an ensemble thing, but
he went from, how is this really successful, gorgeous woman of Anna Faris married to this schlubby TV guy? And then now it's like, how is the biggest movie star in the world married to the co-star of Mom on CBS Wednesdays at 8:30?
America's Most Watched Network. Checks in the mail for that one, too. Speaking of Ascension, at one point, Chris Pratt was probably best known for Parks and Rec. At one point, Lord and Miller were known as the guys that were behind Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which was a great movie.
Like another book that there's no way that book can become a full-length movie.
Right.
They made it work.
They made it work a couple times. Since then, you've got the Jump Street movie sandwiching Lego. They're writing the Flash movie for DC, as well as the Lego sequel. Oh, and they're directing the Han Solo story. Again, that's all, I guess, starting with the Lego movie, because I feel like that's kind of where they broke, too.
I believe they're still doing the animated Spider-Man movie for Sony as well.
Is it a movie, or is that a TV show?
It's going to be a movie. It's got a it's Miles Morales. It's
okay.
going to be a... I think December release date. They were going to direct Flash, and now I think they're still just doing
they're
the story.
Writing it, yeah.
And everybody thought they were going to leave Spider-Man. It appears they're still on that Spider-Man, which that's an animated Miles Morales movie, which will be cool to see. Like, they have a track record with animation.
Oh, for sure. But again, that track record just kind of put itself together very, very quickly with a string of really awesome stuff. And at the time when Lego Movie came out, you know, like we mentioned at the top, I wasn't really interested because I didn't love Legos growing up and I just couldn't see a movie around the toy. But then after I saw 21 Jump Street, and as funny as that was, these guys are doing it? I guess I would give it a little bit of a try because I thought at least it would be funny. There are parts of it that could be
Cloudy
funny.
With a Chance of Meatballs. Very funny.
Yeah. But I think not only did this movie turn out to be funny, but it was a great movie. Not good, but great. And I had started last week, and this will be a thing, of shitting on the Oscars. I'm going to do it again. I cannot understand how this movie, as good as it was, as successful as it was. I mean, the cinema scores are ridiculous. The Rotten Tomatoes scores, by all the metrics possible, this is a wonderful movie. But it doesn't even get nominated for Best Animated Feature, right along the likes of How to Train Your Dragon 2, The Box Trolls, and the eventual winner. Yeah, the best out of that bunch, Big Hero 6.
Oh, yeah. I did like Big Hero 6.
It's fine.
But this should have been nominated.
At like, least.
Even if it lost to Big Hero 6, I'm okay with that. For it not to be nominated.
Because of course they're going to take the Disney. Fine. Whatever. But how does it not get nominated?
And
I don't
understand. Everything Is Awesome not win?
That was the year I think the song from Selma won.
For this not to be nominated for animated, and maybe it's... I think a nice touch was Will Ferrell at the end. Because you go in not expecting that. And I think you go in not expecting most of this movie. And that's kind of where Miller and Lord came from, is under promise, over deliver. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It's not going to be good. It's really great. 21 Jump Street. That's not going to work. It's fantastic. This. Why are you making a Lego movie? Oh my God, it's one of the best kids movies I've ever seen. For their stuff early on, you're going in with no expectations, and the stuff is coming out really, really great. Not because of low expectations, but because it's actually really, really great. And there was a lot more to this movie than just being about Legos. There was cool morals to it. There was a cool story to it. The whole Will Ferrell thing at the end I thought was great, and I thought elevated it up a bit because it did make it a completely different
thing. It wasn't just a silly, let's see how many different Lego pieces we can get
it
in.
It wasn't the Trolls movie.
I have
Which
not,
wasn't
I have
as
not,
bad as I expected
movie.
It to be, but it wasn't needed.
Fair enough.
Timberlake's song is dope.
Well, speaking of the musical stuff, I mean, it did lose to Selma that year.
Is that John Legend?
Yeah, Common, I think. Oh, okay. I think it was both of them, maybe. John Legend and Common, yeah. Everything is Awesome was a good song, but like the whole musical number that they put in there, and the fact that that song wasn't just something that, because in a musical, people break out into random. Like, this was part of their, like, cookie-cutter existence,
yeah.
Was this song that
this
was just everywhere.
Honey, wear my pants.
Exactly.
That's a point I do want to make. I'm big on world building. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you have some leeway when it's an animated film because you create the whole world. So, obviously, you're going to be taken into that world. But to make you understand that world, you have to do a little extra. And this does it. The Will Ferrell walking as President Business into the thing where he's walking through the set of that. Hey, how's the radio going? Oh, we're playing that song. Like, it just, Taco Tuesday, like, it sets up everything that, like, oh, this is what's going on. They're wagging the dog. Everything you feel is coming from this office.
All one
the
way.
The highest office in the world. He could do anything he wants from there, and it's not going to end
this
well.
This business person.
Oh, yeah, Lego movie. It does a great job of setting up that world. It's not just Legos doing Lego thing. It creates this universe and sucks you into it.
And certainly there's a little bit of, I guess, subtle critiques on our cheap culture, which is something that I didn't necessarily get from their other stuff. But seeing them do that in this and seeing how brilliant that song was, I honestly couldn't help think of Parker and Stone. Not just because it's two white dudes that are doing like funny stuff, but what they do with South Park, I thought from an easier to accept or a more accessible way for more people, they were able to do with the Lego movie. I mean, they weren't dropping F-bombs.
It wasn't Shut Your Fucking Face, Uncle Fucker.
Right. Just as catchy.
Just as catchy.
But it still kind of did the same thing. And I think that these guys are as talented as those other guys, that if Stone and Parker...
Just in a different way, yeah.
Right, yeah. If they do a musical like the Book of Mormon, of course it's going to be great. At this point with Lord and Miller, yeah, if they do a TV show like Last Man on Earth, of course it's going to be great. And I do. I like that a lot. If they're going to do anything, the Star Wars movie, am I worried about that? No. I'm pumped that those guys are the ones involved with it. At this point, after having seen Lego movie, I was like, these guys can do anything.
Even 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
They took
a sequel.
Could be a cut and paste sequel. And they turned it on their head, which I thought was great.
We had mentioned Lego, it was tough for us to get into because it was seemingly on its surface a movie about a bunch of toys. But with most of the main characters being toys, I think they were still able to have some really cool characters in the movie. And One of my favorites was actually Liam Neeson's Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Liam Neeson was fantastic in this movie.
Absolutely. And not only was that a cool way to approach a character that's maybe gray. I mean, he's good and bad, so literally, like, his face rotates. But I also think it was kind of a cool throwback to the toys. I mean, how many people, like, drew faces on their Lego guys? To have that involved in the movie just kind of shows that they knew what the hell they were doing with the toys.
The Kraggle and how they worked the real life into it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't mean to disparage Trolls, because for what it was its own movie. But it doesn't at any point acknowledge what the troll dolls are. It's just this world where there's trolls and there's other things. Whereas Lego completely embraced what Legos are. Mm. And they put it in the real world. And it's all in the imagination of this kid. And it's all in this dad's basement who they're not toys for him. They're collectibles. As we sit in an office where we're surrounded by pop figures and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle playset with action figures, that's something people do, is like, these toys aren't for playing with. They're collectibles. But yet, my kids have their own toys, the same kind of things. They play with them. And it's, they made that work, which I thought was great. And the acting in this movie was from Pratt to Banks to Morgan Freeman, Liam Neeson, Will Arnett. Like, everybody is so good in this.
Perhaps my favorite was Charlie Day. You had these guys, with the exception of like the two leads, which weren't like licensed characters, but you run across a bunch that are. And Charlie Day is just Benny the Spaceman. Yeah. Long before Lego like just got every license, that's what it was. Like,
I had City and then Medieval. And then there was space stuff. Yeah. Eventually.
That was it. It was,
now it's everything.
It was space stuff. So, like, generic. But that's, you know, when we were kids, that's what we
Let's
were
build
building.
A spaceship.
Right. We're not building the NBA All-Star Court because that wasn't around. We were building Space Guy. Here's a moon rover thing. And I just love, like, the pace that he brought to it. Like a kid that just got a Lego set, just wants to build, build, build. And that's all he wanted to do, is just, spaceship.
And generally, when you can tell an animated movie is going to fail, DreamWorks has this bad habit. The only one that I think really pulled it off while doing this was Megamind. But when they promote the voice cast, where it's, what was the one? Strange Magic or something, where the trailer is just...
Is that the one that had Beyonce?
Yeah, it's like a dozen names. And Megamind had Will Ferrell above the title, but that was really good. But the ones that promote the voice talent generally suck, because kids don't care about that. So you're trying to suck the parents in because they like The Big Bang Theory or something. You had Liam Neeson, Morgan Freeman, Elizabeth Banks is a movie star, Charlie Day, big TV star, Alison Brie, this is at the height of Community, Chris Pratt, Parks and Rec. Like, you have names in it. They're not used in the marketing. Like, it's just...
And part of that fun, because they weren't used in the marketing, is watching the movie and picking out...
Like, that's Dave Franco says two lines.
Absolutely. It's just picking out these voices that you know.
That Abe Lincoln sounds like Will Forte.
Yes. Even in the credits, I don't think he's listed
Orville
as...
Forte.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not listed as Will Forte, because, oh God, who was that? You look at the credits and like, wait, Orville? What the hell? But that's part of the fun of this movie, is after you've seen it a couple times, is not having to pay as close attention to the plot just to try and pick out those extra voices. One guy that's, you may not know, Dave Franco shows up because you don't see him, but Will Ferrell is obviously a guy that you do see because he shows up as the man upstairs. And the way that he's kind of referred to in the entire movie is the man upstairs and the Kraggle. The way they came back and made the Kraggle a thing that absolutely belongs because of what the man upstairs wants to do, I think it makes it, instead of just being a silly movie about a toy, having that scene with Will Ferrell where he kind of...
I'm the bad guy?
Yeah. Like that,
that's a really good scene.
That realization puts a nice period on the... Be yourself, create whatever you want. There's no wrong answers. Just have fun. It doesn't sink in until it sinks in with Lord Business. And having that scene in there, that's a great role for him because he gets to do the crazy Will Ferrell stuff, but then he does get to kind of bring it back. And
it felt very human.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He wasn't your wacky Will Ferrell. He got to let loose in the voice part of it, but when Will Ferrell actually shows up, that's the Will Ferrell I love. That's mm-hmm. really, really good Will Ferrell. And he doesn't.
That's Everything Must Go Will Ferrell. But he got to get.
Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah, yeah. He got to get all that out of his system. You get to do both.
Yeah. And it added this whole other thing. And I liked the speech that, Chris Pratt gives at the end. I am the special. You're the special. We're all the special. Like, there's so much good about this movie, not just from it's funny. I enjoy it. My kids enjoy it. There's stuff about it. There's a meaning to it,
right,
which you don't get in a lot of. We're getting better now.
Yes.
I think Pixar introduced us to
it
doesn't just have to be dumb butt jokes and stuff. You
can
Zootopia say something.
Was had a pretty good message. It was
it's subtle, but
yeah,
it did that. It delivered without being preachy. I think like it was cool, but I don't think it was preachy. And all the cameos and the voices and the scene where Good Cop Bad Cop has to glue his parent. That's some dark mm-hmm. stuff thrown in the middle of this kid's movie. They didn't hold back. They took chances. The whole movie was just a string of taking chances, and I think they all paid off.
Yeah, this movie is great. And the greatness of this movie, I think, can be distilled down. Well, maybe not distilled down, but if you need evidence of that, I really think the Lego movie is the best DC stuff we've had recently.
On the big screen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Channing Tatum is my favorite Superman.
Jonah Hill is Green Lantern. They're
that banter back and forth is amazing.
Smulders was Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I want that. I want a Justice League, a Lego Justice League.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited for Lego Batman.
Yeah.
Batman was in two movies that came out last year. Mm-hmm. They were two of the worst movies I saw of the year. And I have, my kids have Batman-related names. Mm-hmm. So I love Batman, and I am so excited for Lego Batman. I would love a Superman Green Lantern team-up movie or a full Justice League movie.
Why not?
And I mean, the cast of the Lego Batman movie, I mean, you have not just the voice cast. But
Billy
You have Joker, you have Batgirl, Robin. Yeah, Zach Galifianakis is the Joker.
Yeah.
Jenny Slate is Harley Quinn. Rosario Dawson is Batgirl. Michael Cera
as Robin,
which I think is going to be great.
Yes.
Billy Dee finally gets to play
Righting
Two-Face.
That wrong from 1989.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris McKay takes over. He was an assistant director on that.
He's a Robot Chicken guy.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense. He fits perfectly in with the tone of Lego Movie, how it was.
He helped on it a lot.
Yeah. Him directing it from their writing, I think, is going to be fine.
Yeah.
No worries about that at all. And I think Will Arnett as Batman,
he's perfect.
He's like the perfect Batman to match like the internet memes of Batman. He seems somehow self-aware. And I love the marketing they're doing with it, like the full-size Lego Batmobile that they have. I don't know if I'd be as excited about a Lego Batman movie had we not had the Lego movie.
You know what? It's tough because the Lego stuff, they put out some funny stuff. Like the Lego DC movies, they're different. Like those are smaller made. Mm. They're good. The Lego Marvel ones are good. Lego's a brand now that I'm into the Lego brand.
Yeah.
I
mean,
the Lego Frozen thing put out around Christmas that I really enjoyed.
I didn't love the Lego Star Wars stuff, to be honest with you.
The droid stuff's really good, I think.
Yeah. It took a turn for me after this movie where I was like, okay, I can dig this stuff. It's not just like kids, or it's not just designed to sell more toys. There's something to it.
They don't need help with that.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know. Every brand imaginable.
Yeah, I know. But I'm very excited to see what this movie does. I'm specifically excited because Batman versus Superman last year grossed $330 million domestically. Lego Movie a couple years ago made $257. So your midpoint is $294 million. Do you want the over or the under $294 for Lego Batman?
I think over, just because Lego did so well, but it was an unknown commodity at that time.
Okay.
This is Lego, which is building off of the brand of the Lego movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's Batman.
I agree
with
that. So
I'm going to take the over on that. I don't think by much.
So do you think it breaks 300?
I think it's right around there.
Okay. But it's not passing BVS at 330.
I don't think so. I think it's close. Like
I want it to in the worst kind of way.
I think it's in that 3 to 330 range. Like anywhere in there, I won't be surprised. I realize that's a big window, but I don't think it'll go higher, but I think it'll be 3 plus.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
It's still February.
It is still February.
The Lego movie was an oddity there to make that much money.
Right. But
global warming, people are out at the movies more.
They're at the drive-in.
No, yeah. Right. Yeah. They're out tanning. Might as well go catch a movie.
And building off of, pardon the pun.
It's a brand. Already,
right. Building off the Lego movie. There was nothing really before that.
The marketing is great.
Yeah.
Commercials are funny.
Certainly in 2014, I feel like we were still going up the hill on superhero stuff. But now, like you said, Batman was in two movies last year. So we are certainly about elbow deep in superhero stuff. And I think that'll help. And I think that
Batman's such a beloved character.
Yeah.
Because it's not just me that didn't like BVS and Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were universally
nominated
hated
for Razzies.
So I think people want a good Batman movie.
And I think this is going to be a good Batman movie. Unlike any of the other ones that we've seen, it's going to be interesting this weekend specifically. Just the way things stack up.
It's a weird... You have a mix.
I mean, something for everybody.
Yeah. You have 50 Shades, John Wick, and Lego Batman, which that's three different audiences there, although I think there's a big crossover between John Wick
and
Lego
Batman. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not taking my kids to see John Wick 2.
Are you taking them to see 50 Shades?
Not
just the older ones.
Weekend. But, yeah, we're going to go see Lego Batman.
Sure.
I wouldn't be shocked if I don't see it again.
How are these movies going to stack up at the box office?
Batman, number one.
Batman, number one?
With 50 Shades, number two, and then John Wick, a distant third.
I would agree with John Wick, a distant third. I also wouldn't be surprised if Lego Movie opened to maybe 80 and it still got beat.
I just don't think there's that much money out there at this time. Like,
that's what I think is going to be interesting.
I think it opens at 60 or 70, 50 at 40-ish, and then John Wick 15 to 20.
I'm certainly with you on that. The first 50 Shades opened at 85, February 13th, 2015. 85 million.
I don't think this sniffs that, though.
I don't think it's going to make 85, but...
I don't think it makes 65.
No? Okay.
No.
It's certainly going to be interesting. I mean, we haven't really paid super close attention on the show to box office recently just because it's not really the format now, but I think this weekend just specifically is going to be really interesting to see because there is something for everybody, but you're only going to probably see one movie this weekend. So if you have kids, are you going to get a babysitter and go see 50 Shades, or are you going to bring your kids and see John Wick 2? That is the question, and certainly we'll see sooner than later on that. We will see you next week for... You're going to have to...
It's one of our stupid lists.
Yeah.
Where we have to
explain
what it is.
You're going to have to come on a journey with us on this one. Matt Damon is showing up in a movie with a bunch of CGI and a bunch of Chinese folks.
Like an entire Asian cast and Matt Damon.
And Matt Damon. He is inexplicably defending the Great Wall from something.
I don't even
Some
know.
bad stuff.
There was a 9-minute trailer for this movie. I watched it. I still don't know what the movie's about.
I don't know either. I mean,
it looks awesome.
I'll watch it. Yep. I probably won't be there opening weekend, but I'll certainly watch it. Next week, we will certainly try and tie a list into it. Our working title is American Abroad Action Movies.
Yeah.
Because how the hell else do you describe
action movies that take place overseas or out of the country starring Americans?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could be in Mexico. We could do Sicario if you wanted to.
I didn't do Sicario.
Well, you have an
entire... I do go to Mexico.
You have an entire week to put that in your list, but until then...
Keep it up.
I actually like Sicario more than my number five.
I like Sicario more than any of it. Sicario's I love. I didn't think about it.
I like Sicario. Sicario would probably be my number two.
Sicario would be my number one.